So we've been doing this study about the I am statements that Jesus Christ made, and we're going to shelf that for a week or so. And Lord willing, we're going to get right back to that. But I feel strongly that we should talk about this morning. So if I could have everybody turn to the book of Deuteronomy or follow along on your monitors or your bulletins. We'll talk about Israel and how God sees Israel, what God thinks about Israel. And I'm going to show you and tell you what you should think about Israel. I'm going to tell you what the scripture says. No propaganda here. I'm not telling you you have to agree with their politics or anything like that. But let's just see what God's heart is for Israel this morning and what that means to me and you. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 6 through 8. For you are a people holy to the Lord, your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession. Out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth, it was not because you were more in number than any other people that the Lord set his love on you and chose you, for you were the fewest of all peoples. But it is because the Lord loves you and is keeping the oath that he swore to your fathers, that the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Let's pray. Father God, thank you that your will is going to be done in this service this morning. Thank you for your anointing in this service, Lord. Thank you that what needs to be said will be said, and we will receive that, Lord. Let us give you our full attention, Lord, and thank you that you are speaking to our hearts, Lord. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' wonderful, precious name we pray. Amen. Before we get started, I just want to say this. God cares about what you're going through. God cares about what you're going through. Oh, that's a no-brainer. I heard that since Sunday school. Yeah, me too. Let it sink in. Let that sink in to what I'm telling you. Whatever you're going through. Sister Trish just said what she's going through. I know what a lot of you people are going through, but God says you don't have to face it alone. Do not face it alone. Do not be discouraged this morning. Do you think God wants us to be discouraged? No, Satan wants you to be discouraged. Satan wants you to be full of fear and depression. He wants you to give in. He wants you to throw in the towel. But God says, no, do not entertain that rubbish, but understand you are my much-loved child. He's working behind the scenes of whatever you're going through. So put your trust in him and go ahead and walk like you have the victory, because as far as the Lord is concerned, you have the victory. I give the Lord some praise this morning. Thank you, Jesus. We got a lot of tough decisions to make in our homes. There's so much going on in our personal lives. My friends, I'm just here to tell you, God is with you. God is with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. And sometimes we don't realize that until we are in the valley of decision, until we are in this hopeless situation. But God says, look, I want you to understand this, that I am with you. He never says that life's going to be easy. He never says that everybody's going to love you, or people are going to treat you fairly. He never makes those promises. But he says that he blesses those that mourn. What? He says he comforts those who mourn. He says that he sticks close to the brokenhearted. He saves those who are crushed in spirit. So there is, even though you're fighting or dealing with whatever's going on in your personal sphere, your personal world, God says just rejoice in him. Rejoice in him. Deuteronomy 7, verse 6 through 8. Those are our main verses today. We're talking about Israel this morning, church. For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. You know what? God says, Israel, this nation, this group, you are holy to the Lord. You know what that means? That means set aside for God. So God picked out this people. And he says, I've called you to be my special possession. Now look what God says about the nation of Israel. He says, his treasure possession. This is God talking. This isn't Paul. This is God saying, Israel, you are my treasure. You are the apple of my eye. So how does God feel about Israel? He loves Israel. Israel is special to him. It was not because you were more in number than any other people that the Lord set his love on you and chose you, for you were the fewest of all peoples. So nothing special about Israel on the surface. Nobody would think there's anything special about them at the surface or in the natural. But see, we serve a God. We belong to a God, the creator of heaven and earth. He specializes in loving the underdog. He specializes in picking out those that the world would just pass by, where the world will say, there's nothing special about you. I mean, let's be honest. You know, if you're building some sort of team professionally or a sport team, or you're playing a ball game on the court down at the Y or something, man, you want to pick the best people. You want to pick who's going to be the best for the job, you know? But see, God does things that we don't understand. And God said, Israel, you are precious to me. Not because everybody else thinks you're precious, but because you are precious to me. It's like I've said before, you know, if you're a collector of something, you know, people scour the internet or go to every flea market and swap meet and all that, looking for that item that they must have for their collection. And hundreds of people could walk by that item sitting on a table at some flea market and say, that's rubbish. That's nothing. I don't need that. That's ridiculous. But when that one person sees it, it's that precious thing. You know, why is it precious? Because that person has placed value into that item. God placed so much value into the nation of Israel. He says, I love you. You are my precious possession. And that goes for you, by the way. That goes for you as well. He has handpicked you when maybe others wouldn't say there's nothing special about you. And I think you're special. Don't get me wrong. You know, but God says, oh, I've called you by name. You are my precious, precious child. And that should mean something to us as you go through these trials and these storms, or you deal with the correction that God gives us for making stupid decisions. You know, because we do that sometimes, and a loving father will bring correction into our lives. You know, sometimes we just have hard times. But he says, hey, don't think for a second you're not precious to me. If you weren't precious to me, we wouldn't be going through this correction. It's because he loves it. But Israel is precious to him. Matter of fact, let's look at 1 Corinthians 1 in verse 27. Because God, our God is so amazing, and we can't comprehend the things that he does so often. You know, his ways are above our ways and all that business. But look at 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 27. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. See what God's doing here? He picks out people. He picked out a nation that everybody else would walk past, wouldn't think much of it, you know. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. See, God picks out people like me and you. And he says, I want you to realize something, that when you understand that you are weak, when you understand that there are things that you cannot handle, that you cannot do on your own, when you understand your weakness, then you can be very strong, because you're going to realize that I can't do it, but when I lean on the Most High God, I can do all things. When I am weak, he is strong. So he picks out a nation that has said, you're going to be in impossible situation after impossible situation up until this very week. You're going to be in impossible situations, which will drive you to the realization. The truth of the matter is that you cannot do it, Israel, on your own. That you cannot do it on your own, but you are my precious treasure. See, he picks out that underdog, and he says, because I can show my strength and my might through you, because you rely on me. And that goes for us as well. Don't think you can do it on your own. And don't get frustrated and start beating the windows out of your windshield of your car or whatever when you realize you can't make it, when you realize you hit a dead end, when you're so stinking frustrated. Give it to the Lord. Give it to the Lord, because I can do all things through Christ, and you are his precious child as well. Give the Lord some praise. This is what we call in Christendom a three-water sermon. Yep. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Amen to that. No, I've just been blessed this morning with it. High-quality H2O. For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. Set aside for God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession. Out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth, it was not because you are more in number than any other people that the Lord set his love on you and chose you. For you are the fewest of all peoples. Verse 8. But it is because the Lord loves you and is keeping an oath, keeping the oath that he swore to your fathers, that the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. So what's he talking about there in verse 8? God made a promise. God made a promise to this guy named Abram, And that promise went on, and it was confirmed through Abraham's child, Isaac, and Jacob. On and on. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make a great nation out of you. Through you, all the nations of the world will be blessed. So God made a promise, and God is reminding the Israelite people. See, Deuteronomy 7, what we're talking about today is after they've been set free from slavery, after they have received the Ten Commandments, and God is giving them some guidelines. He says, when you go into this promised land, three nations all around you, I'm going to deliver you through them. One thing you are not to do is intermarry with them. Don't do that, because I've set you apart as holy to me. See, God doesn't care if you marry somebody that's a different color. He could care less about that. And that teaching, that rubbish needs to go away. That's ridiculous. That is absolutely ridiculous. You look at the ministry of Jesus Christ, he purposely goes out to destroy racial prejudice. That's one of the things that he hits hardcore, man. Yeah, so he's not saying don't intermarry with these other nations because they are colored than you. What he's saying is do not let these demon worshipers get involved with my people, because they will beguile you. They will lead you astray. And God says, Israel, you are precious to me. And God says, don't be unequally yoked. But anyways, let's focus on the sermon at hand, or what we're talking about today. But God made a promise to Abram. And he says, I'm a covenant God. I'm a covenant God. I keep my word. And so here you are, Israel. You got brought out of slavery, and you're on your way to this promised land. And there's warfare ahead of you. There's warfare ahead of you. But listen, I'm a covenant God. I keep my promises. And aren't you glad that God keeps his promises? Give the Lord some praise. There is a false teaching that has been going around for years and years and years called replacement theology. Okay. And what that basically is saying is that God has abandoned the nation of Israel. That God has abandoned Israel when they decided to crucify Jesus Christ. And during the church age, God said, Israel, I'm done with you. Now I'm focusing. The church is now my chosen people. Listen to me. That's rubbish. That's not true. God has not given up on Israel. God has big plans for Israel. And God's plans for Israel, that's part of our future. Can I get a witness? Okay, so God loves Israel, and he's got a plan for Israel, and he has not rejected Israel. Well, what about this and what about that? Hey, God corrects his children. God corrects his children, okay? God teaches his children's lessons. God brings judgment sometimes. But listen, he knows what he's doing. And we got to make sure that we're on the right side of the fence with certain things. We really got to understand that, you know. But and let me make this clear. I'm not saying that you have to be one of these guys that, well, Israel's government's doing this, so I support it. Man, you don't have to be like that. You don't have to support every single decision that Israeli government makes. But you need to stand with the nation of Israel. You need to pray for the nation of Israel. And believe me, the nation of Israel, they have a right to exist like any other people. They have rights. They have borders like any other nation. Well, that's there. There you go. Yeah, we could tell the truth, shame the devil, right? Romans 11, 17. God has not given up on Israel. God has not rejected Israel. But as Christians, we have been brought into the most precious family. Can I get a witness? Jesus. So God loves Israel so much. And as Christian people, we owe Israel, we really do, we owe Israel this immeasurable debt, this humongous debt, which we're about to talk about. But let's talk about this real fast. Romans 11, verse 17. But if some of the branches were broken off, not all the branches, but if some of the branches were broken off, and you, this is talking about me and you, although a wild olive shoot, were grafted in among the others and now share in the nourishing root of the olive tree. So that's you as a Christian. We have been grafted in. You're into botany, you're into gardening. Check this out. We were this wild olive branch, and God brought us in to the family, this precious, amazing family. Let's go to the next slide. But don't, for instance, you hear all these weird voices. And in this world where anybody can get on the internet and say what God told them, I'm not going to die on that mountain, you know? But, you know, listen, you need to know the truth. You need to know the truth, because the media ain't out to tell you the truth. And a lot of times, people that get on the internet went through 3 minutes of fame and do that. God told, look, man, you got to know the truth. People can have their hearts in the right place and just be wrong and be deceived. So you got to know what the Word of God says. When we're talking about Israel, we got to understand it. Okay, so anyways, God chose Israel to be a blessing for all of us. He chose this ragtag group of folks. He kept his word to Abraham, and he says this right here. So John 4, verse 22, we have this situation where Jesus is talking to the Samaritan woman. Remember, we just talked about how Jesus hates racial prejudice. I say that right? He can't stand that, John. You know? So here he is talking to a Samaritan woman, when any other Hebrew would go all the way around, didn't want anything to do with those Samaritans. He made a V line, whatever you call it, to the Samaritans. And so there was this lady, the Samaritan woman, was saying, well, we Samaritans, we say we worship here. You Jews say you worship here. And Jesus says this, John 4 and verse 22, you worship, talking to the Samaritan woman, you worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. See, we are blessed because of the Jewish people. We are blessed immensely because of the Jewish people. This Bible that nourishes you, that gives us guidance and our manual for life, that teaches us how to live. This living word of God was written by Jews. Now, you got one Gentile cat. You got Luke, who wrote Luke and Acts. But everybody else was a Gentile, was a Jew. This is a Jewish book written by Jewish authors, inspired by the Holy Spirit. And then if that wasn't enough, here's the big shaboozy right here. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was a Jew. He was a Jew. Our Savior was a Jew. You know what I mean? So we owe a debt to the Jewish people. And like I said, you don't have to agree with everything they do, no more than we agree with everything our government does. I mean, give me a break. You know what I'm saying? Governments are ran by people. People can be selfish. People can be downright evil and demonic. Not talking about Israel. I'm talking about people. Can I get a witness? But God says, look, Jesus talking to the Samaritan, salvation is of the Jews. You Samaritans, you got it wrong. You got it wrong. You got it backwards. You could learn something from the Hebrews, from the Jews. Okay, so look at Genesis 12. Genesis 12, verses 2 and 3. Now, remember we talked a minute ago about that promise or that covenant that God made with Abraham. So one of the reasons why I say we should support the Jews with prayer, with whatever we can give to them, standing up for what's right, interceding, whatever we can. One of the reasons why we should support them is because they'd be so good to us. They've given us the scriptures. Through them, we get the Messiah. And then there's this little thing called the Abrahamic covenant. This little thing where God is talking to Abraham. And he says this right here, way back in Genesis. And I will make of you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. We just talked about that. Israel has been a blessing to us. Verse 3, I will, listen, this is it right here, okay? This is a big deal. We get the Messiah, we get the scriptures, and then we got God saying this right here. I will bless those who bless you. If you stand up for Israel, if you bless Israel, God says, if you do this for the apple of my eye, if you do this for my babies, if you do this, I'll bless you. I don't care how popular or unpopular it is. If you bless them, I'll bless you. That's a good reason right there. Well, we shouldn't do that because we want to be blessed. Blah, 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 blah. All God's people. Blah, blah. Why would we not do that? God is telling you, hey, here's a little incentive for you. Be good to my folks and I'll be good to you. Be good to Israel and I'll bless your socks off. And man, I've seen it in people's lives. Man, I've seen the people, you know, that have just sowed and sowed and sowed into Israel. Didn't have anything. Didn't have nothing, but God's placed on their heart to give a little bit to Israel. And God blesses them. You know, you can't outgive God. We all know that. And this is a very generous church. But I'm saying, here's a little incentive right here. Now listen to this. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you. See, we got to be careful. We got to be careful. Even when we don't agree with their politics, we got to be careful. Okay? I'm not saying we can't disagree. But listen to this. And him who dishonors you, I will curse. So here's the dealio. Here's the 411, man. Look. I don't know why I say such thing. But here it is, man. God says, I'll bless you if you bless Israel. But oh, if you dishonor Israel, if you curse Israel. Y'all hear my phone ringing? Maybe it's in my head. Anywho, moving forward. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you all the, listen, and in your blood, Abraham, and in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. For God so loved the world, for God so loved the world that he gave, who did he give? He gave his son. All the nations of the world, whether they want to believe it or not, are blessed because of Israel. That's the truth of the matter. And God says, look, I'll bless you if you bless Israel. But oh, if you come against them, you just put a curse on yourself. And you can look through history. If you doubt me, no, you're not doubting me, you're doubting the word of God. So look through history and look at the Hamans, you know, in history who said it is my business to get rid of the Hebrew people. Look at the Hitlers. It never works out good for them. It never works out good. But God says, hey, if you bless them, I'll bless them. And I want to be blessed. And see, if they're special to God, well, then they should be special to me. Right. So here's the thing. If I could care less, if it's just another tragedy far away going on, like every other thing going on in every other nation, then there's something wrong. Not that we shouldn't have compassion on every suffering person in the world, but in this world where all these things happen week after week, and here's a tragedy, here's a travesty, here's this, here's that, it's easy for us to say, well, man, I'm glad, better them than me. I'm glad I ain't over there. You know, not that we would ever say that. But see, Israel's special. Israel's special to God. You know, not that he doesn't love everybody, for God so loved the world. But he makes this promise. You curse them, I'll curse you. You bless them, I'll bless you. One way to bless Israel is to pray for them. And then we want to try and meet their practical needs, whatever we can do. You know, but look at Psalm 122 and verse 6. And I mean pray. We need to pray. Like, I mean pray when you are in a situation that is so hopeless yourself. You're in a situation where your heart is just hurting. And you go to the Lord and you say, God, I need you. God, I need you. God says, I want you to have that kind of heart for my people Israel. Well, they're a secular nation. Yeah, so are we, you know. But listen, God's doing the work in them. God's not done with Israel. And he says, before you get on your high horse, pray for them. Pray for the, Psalm 122, verse 6, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they be secure who love you. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. God says, pray for these folks. They're precious to me. Pray for them. And we say, well, if I don't have that desire or that burden for Israel, then we need to say, God, give me that burden for Israel like you have. You know, look at the Apostle Paul, who says, the Apostle Paul, who was a Jew, who was sent to the Gentiles, he said, I gladly would be condemned to hell if some of my people could get saved. He had such a burden for the Hebrew people. And the Apostle Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. The Apostle Paul was going around to all these Gentile churches saying, hey, we're taking up an offering for the Jews. I'm going to Jerusalem. What do you got? Let's get what you got so we can go bless these Hebrews because you owe it to them. Tell the truth, shame the devil. Can I get a witness? Let's go to the next slide. All right. Talk amongst yourselves. All is well. Thank you, Jesus. And if you dishonor Israel, let's see what the prophets say. Look at these two verses. Look what the Old Testament prophets say, or what God is saying through these Old Testament prophets. This is good stuff. Zechariah 2 in verse 8. For thus said the Lord of hosts. That's a nice title. This is one of the names of God, or one of the titles of Jehovah God, the Lord of hosts, or the Lord of heaven's armies, or the Lord of the angel armies. So this is important when God is talking, when he's referencing people messing with Israel. He says, the Lord of hosts here, the Lord of angels, the armies of angels here, the Lord of hosts, for thus said the Lord of hosts, after his glory sent me to the nations who plundered you, for he who touches you touches the apple of his eye. God says, you mess with Israel. You're not messing with any. This ain't business as usual, folks. You mess with Israel, you're messing with the Most High God. You also see that in history. Look up a little thing called the Six-Day War. You know, you mess with Israel, you're messing with God. That's just how it is. Now, Obadiah 1 and verse 15. For the day of the Lord is near upon all the nations. There's going to be a time and there's going to be a place when God settles the score. And you want to make sure that you're on the right side of this. For the day of the Lord is near upon all the nations. Listen, as you have done, it shall be done to you. Your deeds shall return on your head, your own head. God said, you mess with Israel, you're messing with me. And just like you have treated my people, that's exactly what's going to come back on you. God's warning you. Don't dishonor Israel. Don't curse Israel. Like I said, we don't have to agree with everything they do, but we need to pray for them. We need to stand in the gap for them. And we need to do what we can to meet those needs that they have, because we owe it to them. And God says, you do it and you'll be blessed. Amen. So if you do not have a burden for Israel, if your heart has not been going through some crazy times since this recent surprise attack on Israel, if it hasn't grieved your heart, then something's wrong. If it hasn't grieved your heart, you need to pray, God, give me your heart for Israel. Father God, thank you so much that we have a heart for Israel, that we have your heart for Israel, Lord. Thank you, Father God, that we will stand in the gap for them, that we will support them. If they have nobody, they have you. And if they have you, they have us, Father God. Thank you, Lord, that we will not abandon them. We will not be fickle. We will not see, well, I have nothing to gain from this. But we will have your heart for these people, Lord. And we will pray and intercede and fast for them. We love you. We praise you. Thank you for being so good to us and giving us the Messiah and giving us your scripture, Lord. We love you and praise you. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen. We're done.